Back on Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon, and time for us to talk a little Celtics basketball. To do that, we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey there, John.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks. How's your day so far?
Oh, it's great.
We're ready for game five tonight. Hey, look, let's just you and me off the record. Is this thing over?
I mean, don't tell anybody else, but
no.
Yeah, it's done. I feel like this, especially with the DeJounte Murray suspension, this is over. I feel like the Hawks have one more push, one more run, and we might see it at the beginning of the first quarter. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see 10-2 run, Joe Mazzulla timeout, and then Celtics. You know, I'll be tweeting out Celtics on 122-80 run after the initial burst or whatever. So, yeah, I think it should be over pretty quickly.
In terms of that Murray suspension, obviously that was warranted.
Yeah, anytime you bump an official, that's going to happen, like, intentionally. And I've seen some people in the Atlanta side say, hey, well, Jason Tatum bumped an official. That official had gotten into Tatum's way as if he was going to try to stop them from, you know, any sort of altercation. And basically Tatum kind of pushed his arms off of, pushed the ref's arms off of him so he could walk away. It's a little bit of a different thing. If you watch the full video of DeJounte Murray, he was out there. He took the last shot of the game, walked all the way across the court, and then got into the official's face, bumped him, said whatever he said. So that was guaranteed to be a suspension. And anybody who thought otherwise is probably wearing the red and yellow jersey.
Celtics have done a good job in this series, especially the last couple of games, of exploiting some of those lapses in the Hawks' defense.
Yeah, well, which lapses are you talking about? Because there's a lot.
Yeah.
The Hawks' defense has been just absolutely awful. And that's the knock on them, right? They are a pretty potent offense, and we saw that from, you know, throughout the series. We saw that especially in Game 3 when everything is working. They're very capable of putting up 130 points. And even when things aren't working, they're capable of bursts. So it's not like the Celtics, you know, Celtics in 5 was always my prediction. But, hey, you know, you got to give the Hawks some credit for being a good offensive team. Defensively, though, was why I said Celtics in 5, because everywhere you turn, there's a mismatch. There's no matchup on that floor where you could look at and say, okay, the Hawks own this matchup. They're going to have to go to it. So, and the thing is, Rich, the Celtics are getting to the rim without any resistance. Marcus Smart just drive by Bogdan Bogdanovic and goes up for a dunk uncontested. Like, that's inexcusable, but that's the Hawks defense in a nutshell.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, you also told us before the playoffs started, Celtics got a break getting Atlanta and not Miami, and I guess nobody understands that now better than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow, right? It's just unbelievable how that series has gone. And it's, you know, they didn't have Giannis for a couple of games, and it's not out of the question for Milwaukee to, they get the next two of the next three at home. So all you need to do is win one more road game. I think they can still win this series, and it wouldn't be a shock. But, yeah, they're going to have to work for it. Either they're going to lose, and that's going to be a 1-8 upset, or they're going to have to go 7 to get rid of the Miami Heat. Either way, that's the number one reason. We saw it last night, Jimmy Butler dropping, 56? That's why I didn't want to see Miami, because Jimmy Butler, no matter what deficiencies they have, he's just capable of, in the middle of a playoff series, dropping a 50-point game and making your life miserable. So the Hawks did the Celtics a huge favor by winning that play-in game.
Yeah, and now the Celtics can perhaps say in a few days, number one seed, well, who cares? We've got home court again.
Yeah, right. I mean, if the Bucks are eliminated, then the Celtics have home court for the entire playoffs anyway. So that worked out. And honestly, if they had gotten the top seed, they would have gotten Miami. And maybe the road wouldn't have been as easy. And so you go into presumably you wrap this up and you go up against Philly and you take care of business and you have a potentially easier road the rest of the way. I don't know how that Miami and I guess New York series is going to go, but if it is Miami and New York, but yeah, the Celtics have that home court advantage. If Miami closes it out the rest of the way, and that's going to be huge for them.
It was good to see Malcolm Brogdon get recognized for the great work that we've seen all season long.
Yeah, the Sixth Man of the Year award. He got that last week. That was very well deserved. I thought the voters got it right. I was afraid that Emmanuel Quickley from New York might get the award. But, he's had a good season. But you look at the statistics, Quickley as a starter was averaging 20 points and he was shooting really well. And as a sub, he was okay. He was 12 points per game and he was shooting in the low 40% range. So when you compared apples to apples, and Quickley had 61 games off the bench to Brogdon's 67. Brogdon didn't start a single game. So when you compared that directly to their impact off the bench, you saw that Brogdon was clearly the better bench player. And I don't even think the numbers tell the whole story, because I thought Brogdon has been pretty solid all year long. And the impact that he makes on this team, it's not just being good off the bench. It's what he allows the Celtics to do with their rotations, keeping Derek White as a starter and being able to get that secondary ball handler in there and having somebody to handle that bench like a veteran. It's not just putting up numbers. It's controlling that bench as the point guard and being able to make everybody around him better. That's just been so huge for Malcolm Brogdon. So I think he's beyond the statistics. Had a very easy case for Sixth Man of the Year.
And looks like another coaching opportunity for Ime Udoka. Is this a good place for him to land?
Yeah, I think, it's going to be good for the Rockets to have a guy like Ime in there, kind of like a tough, hard-nosed guy. They probably need a little bit of discipline for all those young guys out there. I think one of the biggest criticisms of the Rockets is that they played undisciplined basketball. So that's going to be good for them. That's going to be good for him. The league determined that there was nothing that he had done in Boston that made him unhirable. And so he got his chance. He paid a price. He lost his job. He, paid a personal price. He lost millions of dollars in unpaid salary, due to the suspension. So he paid a heavy price. And now he gets another opportunity in Houston. And I think everybody's just kind of like happy to move on from that chapter.
All right, game five tonight. Then the message from John is, look, if it's Atlanta playing very well early on, take a breath, walk around the living room a little bit. It'll get over quickly.
It'll change. the line, I think, was Celtics favored by 13. I think they're going to cover that and be fine.
All right, there we go. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. We'll check in with you next week.
All right, talk to you then.